Back in 2 Corinthians 9, I'm sure you have already spotted the text for this morning. Yes, it is that very last verse of the chapter. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. I thought this to be a very appropriate text in light of what many people may have been doing just yesterday. And perhaps there is that gift or a number of gifts that are filling your mind and perhaps thrilling you today, whatever those things may be. Now, all men are given to the power of exaggeration. There are those who use words like awesome, words like terrible, powerful, mighty. And yet, how do you know where those things begin and end? Paul the Apostle was not an exaggerator, but he had a difficulty on where to begin and end with this. And so he said, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. It's not often that Paul the Apostle is stuck for words. And so he chooses this one, unspeakable. He's not exaggerating because he never uses this word again in all of the New Testament. We do not find the apostle using this word, unspeakable. It would be easy for just to make that kind of a redundant word and just throwing it at the issue and letting people take whatever they mean out of it. Now, the lament of every gospel preacher is that the whole gospel is really unspeakable. How do we find words to express and communicate the glory of the gospel, the good news that the Lord Jesus saves? There's another time when the Apostle Paul was seemingly stuck for words, and he said, great is the mystery of godliness. But I think rather he was confessing that he didn't even pretend to grasp the mystery of the virgin birth. It's a miracle, and therefore it's beyond our puny minds. And so we can never preach about the Savior enough, nor can we tell the story well enough. This text today, I want to take it as a theme of appreciating God's Son, the gift, the unspeakable gift. Here are words that lead us to appreciate the Lord. And I want to give you some pointers today to appreciate this wonderful gift, this unspeakable gift, unlimited. And how can we tell it? Well, let's look at a number of pointers. Well, everyone who discovered God's Son, God's gift, they could not be silent about it. Everyone to whom the Lord revealed this good news of the gift of His Son, they became thrilled to tell the news. I want to give you just a few examples. The first will be Mary in Luke chapter 146. This is known as the Magnificat. It is known as Mary's Song. And it's filled with theology. It tells us a little about Mary that she was not just a simple farm country girl. She knew words. She knew how to express the thrill of her heart as she thought on the news that this child would be born in her womb. Luke 1:46, and Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. And if I remember right, Dr. McClelland gave you an illustration this year of what it means to magnify and how you take the magnifying glass and you use it to extol the Lord. And again, if I remember right, he says the magnifying glass itself doesn't make anything bigger, but it makes it to appear bigger to our understanding. And Mary was saying, magnify the Lord with me. She was thrilled with this news. Then she said, my spirit hath rejoiced in God, my Savior. This was God's gift to her. She was not just a carrier of a child. She was given a personal Savior. And of course, that's what makes God's gift to us so wonderful. It's not just that God visited others or another people, another race, or another generation, but God visited me and has given to me this gift. My name is upon this gift. And of course, that's what makes you a Christian, when your personal name is upon the gift. Now, Mary went on. Her appreciation of the gift, what value was it? Well, verse 48, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. She was needy. She was of an Israelite. She was of the line of Judah, but needy. Now, when you receive an appropriate gift, and you know that it will meet the need of your life, it's an unspeakable gift. It's a wonderful gift. Do you know your need of the Lord Jesus today? Sadly, in this world, so many, they know about the Lord, but they do not know their personal need of a Savior, because they do not recognize their lost, low condition. The reality is that many people, if they died right now, they're not ready for heaven, not ready for glory. And that may be true of you if you're not a Christian today, if you're not saved. And so this is a gift that you must appreciate out of your own low, lost condition. And then you'll notice she goes on to say, for behold, from thenceforth all generations shall call me blessed. Now, Mary was not boasting, but she was pointing out that from here on she was going to be an honored woman. She was going to be elevated by the gift of God. Let me tell you, Christianity elevates people. It takes men and women out of the dunghill of this world, makes those who are on the broad road to destruction in their depravity to be kings and priests unto God. The gospel makes you rich. And of course, the Bible is filled with the riches of Christ that the Christian enjoys. This is an enriching gospel. And so this gospel is not to put you down or hold you down. It is not to keep you in a low position. It is to elevate you and bring you one day into the very presence of God. What a gift! That was Mary's testimony. And then the angels in chapter 2 of Luke's gospel, verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be unto all people. And of course, this is the whole story. And what did these shepherds do? Well, they spread abroad the saying. That was our sermon last Sunday, verse 17. These shepherds spread abroad the saying. They couldn't be silent. The thrill of their hearts loosened their tongues, and they became preachers of the good news. They appreciated the gift. They knew the value. In verse 25, you will see Simeon. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem, his name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And in verse 28, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. The promise to him was he would not see death until he saw the Messiah child, the Christ. And then Simeon was at peace. He could leave this world in peace. This is an unspeakable gift, because Christ prepares us for death, prepares us for eternity. And to the troubled heart who fears death and trembles about eternity and what it's all going to bring, what's beyond the grave, this gift brings peace. It brought peace to Simeon's heart. And you can have that peace today as well. You can have peace with God right now by accepting the gift and appreciating the difference that it is to die without Christ and to die with Christ as your Lord and as your Savior. One other person in this passage, and that is Anna, verse 36. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Here is this Anna, an aged, godly woman, waiting for her Lord. And when she meets him, they're coming in with the babe in arms, she said, thanks likewise unto God. I wonder today, is there a spirit of thanks in your heart for God's Son? A real spirit of appreciation, because to Anna, of course, it was redemption. This is the value. Our Lord would purchase what money or gold cannot buy. His own precious blood would redeem his people from their sins. You see, your money cannot buy your way to heaven. All the assets, all the things that you've striven for and labored for through life, whatever bank account, whatever assets you have accumulated, they'll never buy your way to heaven. But the blood of Jesus will. What he accomplished in life and death on the cross secures salvation. He has purchased your redemption. And therefore, it's an unspeakable gift. And everyone who discovered this Savior by faith, by conviction, they appreciated him. And I know there are many, many people here today, and you come to God's house out of thanksgiving for the wonderful Savior that we have. I have no doubt that for a moment, that in many, many hearts here today, you took the hymnal, you sing, you praise your Savior. And if there's someone here today and that's not doing that, we invite you to join in. This is God's unspeakable gift to us. Now, I want to move on to the individual Christian's personal appreciation of Christ. Now, it is a problem, of course, to give a gift that is not appreciated, a gift that the person really doesn't want. And sometimes children, they can be crafty enough to, you know, what is good manners. Mommy always tells me to say thank you. And so when someone gives a gift, the child will say thank you and then throw it in the corner and go play with something else. Well, that's not really appreciation. And of course, adults, they're a little more astute. When they receive a gift, they know to say all the right words and not allow someone to see them throwing it in the corner and go play with something else. They will be careful that they don't offend. But God sent his own Son to be appreciated. And what a great judgment will come upon those who reject the Lord Jesus. Now, how can we ascertain if we have really, really, really appreciated the gift of God's Son? Let me give you three pointers. Number one, we appreciate the cost of the gift. You know what giving a gift card is like? I love you up to $50. Well, when you think of this gift of the Lord, it was a birth of humiliation. What it cost him to leave glory, come down into the cursed world. Heaven is a place of no curse. Earth is the place of a curse. Heaven is a place of no sorrow. Our Lord Jesus came into a world filled with sorrow, and he tasted of the cup of sorrows more deeply than any other human. Heaven is a place where there are no tears. Our Lord Jesus, he shed tears. Three times it's recorded, but as an infant, I'm sure he shed tears. He went through all the pains and the pangs of all children. He was born into the world through the pain of childbirth. You see, the supernatural conception of our Lord Jesus did not mean a supernatural delivery. Mary knew the pains of childbirth. And that infant that was born, like most babies, came into the world crying. A healthy baby soon cries. In heaven, there is no night. But when our Lord came into the world, it was night. It was darkness. Symbolic of the spiritual darkness of this cursed world. It was a birth of untold humiliation. And then the life of our Lord. Rejected of men, he came unto his own, but his own received him not. He was the unwanted Jesus Christ. The unwanted man. And many turned away from him. And there came a point where the Lord Jesus had to say, "Will ye also go away?" He was the man of loneliness. And certainly when we come to the cross, his death was a death of untold humiliation. He became a curse for us who knew no curse. Hanged on a tree. To any Jew, that is despicable, that is shameful, that's a scandal. And our Lord Jesus bore the humiliation. He was despised and rejected. Now, is that true in your heart today? Because faith does the opposite. Faith enables us to see the cost and appreciate the value. We also appreciate the clothing of this gift. Now, the clothing is Christ's holiness and righteousness. And there's no better gift than a gift of clothing. Because these bodies of ours, well, they need to be clothed 365 days of the year, whether it's hot or cold, whether it's summer or winter, we always need clothing, and there's no better gift than the gift of clothing. It's certainly to be appreciated. And when our Lord came and saw us as sinners, what did he see? He saw our nakedness, the nakedness of our sin. He saw that our righteousnesses were just filthy rags. He saw that we could not clothe ourselves and fit ourselves for heaven. And so he gives to us the garment of his righteousness. Do you understand what that means, the garment of his righteousness? We use the story of the prodigal son. He was in rags feeding the pigs, and then the father clothed him with a garment, a gown. But that is symbolic. It is symbolic of a spiritual imputation, a transfer of all the goodness and all the merits, all the value of Christ's life applied to your heart and your life. And so when God looks upon you by faith in the Lord Jesus, he sees you clothed, perfectly righteous for heaven. And therein is the value of this gift. There is that we must appreciate. And so this gift is unspeakable because it takes a sinner in his rags and gives you the garment fit for glory. That's amazing. That's unspeakable. How do you explain that? How do you tell that? And if you are resting in the clothing of the gospel that takes you from being a filthy, ragged sinner in God's sight and makes you pure and holy in God's sight, you're rejoicing and you're saying, "Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift." We also appreciate the contentment that this gift brings to our heart. We notice that with Simeon and Anna. The contentment that it brought to their life. Now, many gifts, receiving the gift with its wrapper on brings its own thrill, and then unveiling the gift brings its own thrill, and then starting to use the gift for the first time, that brings its own thrill, and then it wears off. This is not what I thought it was going to be like. Or maybe it just doesn't function. And of course, tomorrow, this week, our retail stores, their busy lot will be returns. Well, I'm offering to you today the unspeakable gift of God that no true believer will ever return. You'll never want to part with this unspeakable gift because it brings unspeakable peace. It satisfies. He satisfies. He restores your soul and satisfies your soul. And of course, Christ is the Prince of Peace. And for the troubled, tried soul, there's no other way to peace than through the Lord Jesus Himself. Now, as you look back over this year that has gone by, maybe it has been a very troubled year for you. Perhaps there have been more heartaches and tears in your life. But there are other people who seem to be at perfect peace. But it is a false peace. It's a peace when there's no peace. And Jeremiah addressed that. It's the peace of ignorance. It's the peace of blindness. Not knowing that every day is a journey to the precipice of the cliff. And another movement, just a little push, and you're over the cliff, and yet you're at peace. It's a peace in the blindness of self-confidence, self-contentment, when you're not saved, not reconciled to God. But the Lord Jesus, the Prince of Peace, He brings true peace. And how much is that worth? How much is that worth? Can you tell me, what's the limit in spending on this peace? Will you give up your most favorite jewel? Thinking of the ladies here now. Rings and diamonds and necklaces and that favorite piece. Would you give that up and give that up that you might have peace? I think you would. I think you would. Men, would you give up your car that you might have peace in your heart? Would you give up your home? What's your home worth? Some people might have a home worth $500,000. But if there's no peace, what's it worth? The thing is, you can't buy peace. But Christ did. And this is the unspeakable gift because of its infinite value. It can bring to your life what money, assets, materialism can never bring. That's why Christians rejoice. That's why Christians have the spirit of thanksgiving. That's why we'll come to God's house and we'll take our hymnal and we'll sing and sing and sing because we have this unspeakable peace, this unspeakable gift that God has given us. Now, I spoke about throwing gifts in the corner and not really showing appreciation. How do you know today if you really appreciate this gift? Well, we must pray in His name. If you're not using the gift and it's just thrown in the corner and you're not really playing with it or enjoying it or utilizing that gift that you've given and you're just putting it in the corner, you don't really appreciate it. Let me ask you, through 2010, how often have you prayed in Jesus' name? How much time have you given to pray in the name of the Lord Jesus? The Lord said, "Ask, and ye shall receive. And if ye ask in My name," our appreciation of God's gift is how we're using the name and the power of that name in prayer. I turn that right around to myself and I ask, am I preaching sermons that appreciate the Lord Jesus, that display our confidence in the worth of God's gift of His Son? That becomes my challenge as the pastor and preacher, and it becomes your challenge if you want to hear about God's Son. Somebody, oh, I don't want to go to church today. No time today. Well, maybe the morning, but not the evening, or maybe the evening and not the morning. I just can't do it twice. Why? Well, if our appreciation, and especially if the sermon is Christ-focused, Christ-exalting, leading hearers to a true evaluation and understanding of the Son of God and all His blessings, all His covenant mercies, if the preaching of the word is on the very Christ-centered message, and you stay away, are you not throwing it in the corner? We're also to give in our Lord's name. You see, this little text that comes at the end of the chapter, it almost seems like a little tag on, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. But did you know that the whole chapter, even going back to chapter 8, is all about the giving of God's people in the first century? You'll notice down in verse 7, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. For God loveth a cheerful giver. And then verse 13, whiles by the experiment of this manifestation, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, for your liberal distribution unto them. And there was offerings being taken up for the cause of the gospel, for the people of God that were in need. And here is Paul's final word. We give because we appreciate God's gift, the unspeakable gift. And we give as we are able. We are give as God prospers us and as we purpose in our hearts out of appreciation. And every sacrifice of the Christian in the name to the honor of our Lord Jesus is really because of that unspeakable gift. And we have grasped something of the value of our Lord Jesus to our souls, and we give in his name. I take this opportunity at the close of the year to thank everyone for their liberal, generous giving through the year that has gone by. This church couldn't function without your giving. The gospel would diminish if you did not give to the cause of the Lord Jesus in this church. And every dollar that you give, every check you write, every gift you give to the work of the gospel here, you are doing it, I trust, because you appreciate God's unspeakable gift. And therefore, Paul argues, we don't give grudgingly or out of necessity. It's not just, well, it's now my duty. I'm a member. I've committed myself. I'm expected to. No, it's the joy of our souls because of the unspeakable nature of God's wonderful gift to us. How could we appraise this gift? See, this was the apostle's problem when he used the word unspeakable. He's trying to appraise. He's trying to put a value to it. And he says, I can't, because to the Christian who's growing in faith, the value keeps increasing. That's the wonder of this. Not many things in this world are like that. Most things decline in value over time. There are certain things that might appreciate. But our Lord Jesus, to every Christian, I can assure, if I asked aged saints like me, saved 30 years or more, is the Lord Jesus worth more or less to you today than when you first trusted him? I could guarantee that we would have a unanimous agreement. He is more precious, more valuable. And that will be true every ongoing day of our lives, right to the grave. And on your deathbed, and my deathbed, my Savior will mean more to me than any other day in my life. Why? Because he's that unspeakable gift that meets the need. And we love him and appreciate him. Now, this word thanks means a good attitude. And when we see our children receiving gifts and they say thank you, we say that's the right attitude. But when they come the next day and they say, boy, my aunt was so kind to buy me a gift like this, that's appreciation. Because the child now has opened it, played with it, used it, and slept on it, wakened the next day to reuse it, and still filled with thanksgiving. And that's the appreciation that is in every believer's heart of the Lord Jesus as we go on in the Christian life. I read a story of a Christian camp where people were sitting watching a sunset. And there was one man in particular who was there first and last. And he never took his eyes off the sunset the whole time until the light diminished and the darkness descended. The next day, when someone else asked him, he said, "Are you a painter? Because you were fixated on that sunset all the time." And he said, "No, I'm not a painter. I'm just a plumber. But you see, I was blind for 5 years, and I know what darkness is. When I saw that sunset last night, it meant so much to me." That really is a Christian's testimony. Once we were blind, now we see. There was a time when I had no interest in the Son of God, no interest in His gift, no interest in His salvation. But the Lord has opened my eyes, and I see the beauty that's in Him. Amen. May God save you today.